I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us. Happy Easter. He has risen.
He has risen indeed. And that exactly is what we're here to celebrate on this wonderful day. As we remember, we have a risen Savior. Grayson and I thought it would be good to recount the Easter resurrection story today on Front Porch Talks. And so I'm going to be reading from Matthew 28 from the Holy Bible, God's Word Translation. And I pray that these words will bring excitement to your spirit and that your hope will be enhanced and enlarged by the time this half hour is up. Beginning now with the reading of the resurrection morning story, Matthew 28, verse 1. After the day of worship, as the sun rose Sunday morning, Mary from Magdala and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly there was a powerful earthquake. An angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and was sitting on it. He was as bright as lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so deathly afraid of him that they shook. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has been brought back to life as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been brought back to life. He's going ahead of them into Galilee. There they will see him. Take note that I have told you." They hurried away from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and greeted them. They went up to him, bowed down to worship him, and took hold of his feet. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my followers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city. They told the chief priest everything that had happened. The chief priests gathered together with the leaders and agreed on a plan. They gave the soldiers a large amount of money and told them to say that Jesus' disciples had come at night and had stolen his body while they were sleeping. They added, "If the governor hears about it, we'll take care of it, and you'll have nothing to worry about." The soldiers took the money and did as they were told. Their story has been spread among the Jewish people to this day. And so this is the resurrection story as recorded in the gospel, the Good News account of Matthew, and it is quite a powerful story indeed. Grayson, as you were listening to me read through those verses of Scripture, this complete story, what from the resurrection story kind of sticks out to you? It's really hard to miss. It's very, very obvious.
Well, he said that he would die and then raise on the third day. So he did what he said he was going to do. He rose from the dead, and nobody else can say that they've ever risen from the dead except for those that Jesus rose from the dead while he was alive, like Lazarus. But nobody can say that they rose theirself from the grave like Jesus did. And so that's certainly the thing that sticks out to me as you're reading those verses, because Easter, I believe, is the most significant day on the Christian calendar. Certainly, Christmas is important. Certainly, we wouldn't be able to celebrate his resurrection if he hadn't have been born. But I think that Easter trumps them all, and I think that's what sticks out to me the most.
That's good. No doubt, we've never met any other quote-unquote religious leader who has claimed to bring themselves back from the dead. And actually, we know it happened. At one point, Jesus appeared to 500 witnesses after he resurrected from the tomb. And so we know it's a reality, and we know the devil wants to make sure that it comes across as a lie. Because if there is no resurrection of the crucified Son of God, then there is no hope for all of humanity. We will be lost and destroyed in darkness forever. But because he came and overcame the tomb, because he whipped the grave and took death on, he brought light back into our world, and life is now an option for us. It is eternal life. I have a little pamphlet that I received. It's called the Covenant Series. It's written by Stan Key from the Francis Asbury Society in Wilmore, Kentucky. The title of this pamphlet is Come and See. And I want to read a little bit from this pamphlet and share an outline that Stan Key has offered as we look at the resurrection story. Stan Key tells this story to illustrate some of the resurrection details. When our grandson, Jaden, was 6 years old, I took him on an overnight camping trip to Vermont. We were living in Albany, New York at the time, and the drive to our campsite on Lake Champlain took us through beautiful New England countryside. It was just the two of us enjoying the moment when from his car seat behind me, Jaden said, "Papa, I just saw a camel." Not quite sure how to respond to such a statement, and not wanting to insult his intelligence, I replied, "Jaden, there are no camels in Vermont. Camels live in Africa and Asia." I silently wondered what his mother had been teaching him and if he ever even looked at all those animal books on his shelves. "It must have been a horse or perhaps a llama," I suggested. And Jaden's response was firm. "It had two humps." Realizing that I was making no progress in my effort to change his mind, I came up with an idea. "Jaden, tomorrow when we drive home, we'll come back down this road and we'll look for that camel, okay?" For the next 24 hours, I wondered about what Jaden had seen in that field. What could it have been? I was certain of only one thing. It was not a camel, because everyone knows there are no camels in Vermont. Driving home the next day, I tried to hide any cynicism in my voice when I said, "Okay, Jaden, we're close to that field we passed yesterday. Let's look for that camel of yours." Within a few minutes, the mystery was solved. In the middle of a field of sheep was a haystack, and standing next to the haystack was a living, breathing, long-haired, two-hump camel. Humbly, I apologized to my grandson, who obviously knew more about animals than I did. "I'm so sorry, Jaden," I said. "There are camels in Vermont." Now change the scenery. Rather than Vermont, imagine a home in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, early on a Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene burst into a room filled with disheartened disciples with an announcement that no one believes. "Jesus is alive," she shouts. "Silly woman," the men must have thought. "We watched him die. We saw him buried. Everybody knows that dead people don't come back to life." But to their credit, these disciples decided to check out the facts for themselves. Mary Magdalene had never lied to them before. What would motivate her to fabricate such a preposterous story? Besides, the tomb was near enough to visit and formulate their own conclusions. When they checked out the facts for themselves, their doubts were turned into faith and their despair into joy. Jesus is alive, and the gospel is true. It was this certainty that propelled them outward with a message of hope and salvation that turned the world upside down. Looking at the gospel accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we can condense the story into four life-changing invitations. Now, I want to share those four invitations in this pamphlet. I think they are life-changing in and of themselves, and I'll read them, and then we'll give a little commentary on each. The first invitation we hear from the story is, "Come and see." The angel said to the skeptical disciples, "Come see the place where he lay." In other words, check it out for yourself. Before you dismiss the possibility of camels in Vermont, at least have the intellectual integrity to come and examine the evidence. The Bible account of the resurrection is not the stuff of myth and legend, but rather is clearly anchored in time and space, written by eyewitnesses of the events described. Come and see. Check out the facts for yourself. Nowhere in the Bible are we encouraged to leave our brains at the door when we become Christians. Faith is not a mindless thing. It is a leap, yes, but not a leap in the dark. While the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus may not be such as to make faith inevitable, it is of a nature to make faith possible. The stone rolled away from the tomb, not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. So go ahead, check out the evidence for yourself. Grayson, when you hear this invitation, "Come and see the empty tomb," what do you think about?
Well, I think about how we can witness to others and share our experience, what we've seen, just like Mary Magdalene shared with the disciples that she had seen that Jesus was risen from the dead, but they had to experience it for themselves. So we can share what God's done in our lives, and we can share that he's risen, but people have to kind of experience it for themselves, so to speak. So come and see. We invite people, whether we invite people to church or invite them to have a relationship and ask Christ into their lives. But that's what I think about when you say come and see. Come and see for yourself.
Yes, that's good. And we take that application, Grayson, to this first invitation. Come and see for yourselves. Now, I thought you were going to talk about your visit to Jerusalem. I think you did go and see, didn't you? Tell about going into that empty garden tomb, and what did you find there?
Yeah, well, we didn't find anything, and that's what the Bible tells us, that he has risen, and he has risen indeed. And so certainly we know, Dad, you've been there many times. I've been there once. We know that, and there's a couple different tombs that they think it might be. And as you always say, the good news is they're all empty.
That's exactly. There was a British guide when you're at the Garden Tomb, east of Jerusalem. And this is the place I believe to be the site of the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, there's so much evidence there, geographical, archaeological. And when you're there, you just have a deep sense that this is holy ground. But this British guide one year was so wonderful in what he said to us. As we were getting ready to leave the empty tomb, we had shared communion. We have sung songs of resurrection and hope. The guide looked at us in that beautiful British accent, and he said, "The most wonderful thing about this location is that you have come all the way across the world to see absolutely nothing." And that's because we believe and know the tomb is empty because our lives are full. The old hymn writer said, "Ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." And so we have the witness of his spirit. We know that there is an empty tomb outside Jerusalem because our Savior has been resurrected. He came out of his grave to call us out of ours. The second invitation, Grayson, is kneel in faith. There comes a point when examining the evidence comes to an end and a decision must be made. Well, is this true or not? Will I believe or will I remain in unbelief? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is not just an historical fact. It is an existential imperative. Jesus is alive. What will I do with him? The story of Thomas and his doubts is included in the biblical narrative as an encouragement to doubters everywhere. He had the integrity to follow the evidence where it led. Kneeling before Jesus, Thomas humbly confessed, "My Lord and my God." You see, Easter confronts each of us with a choice. What will I do with Jesus? So, Grayson, when you think about this idea of kneeling in faith, this invitation, we're asked, invited to kneel in faith, what would you like to say from your point of view?
Well, I think about coming before him or kneeling before him in prayer and coming humbly before him. And when we come to him in prayer, we also need to come to him in faith, making sure that we believe that he can answer the prayers that we're coming to him and kneeling before him and the things that we're asking him to do. So I think we need to be humble and surrender our all to him, surrender our lives to him, surrender our will to him, and come to him in prayer and ask him for his will in our lives. But we also need to believe that he'll act on our behalf and believe that he has our best interest in mind.
Exactly. When we hear the resurrection story of Jesus Christ, we have to make a decision. Will we kneel in faith or will we stand and walk away in doubt? Actually, there are only two choices. We accept the resurrected Jesus and the story, or we reject the resurrected Jesus and the story. So I pray that this Easter season, if you have not yet knelt in faith, if you have not knelt in faith and say, "I receive you, Jesus, as my resurrected Savior, forgive me for my unbelief." If you have not done that yet, I pray that this could be the day, even during this broadcast. Now, there's a third invitation. First of all, we had come and see. Second of all, kneel in faith. And the third one is rise in power. "Because I live, you also will live," Jesus said in John 14 and verse 9. Because he rose to new life, those who put their trust in him can have new life as well. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Romans 8, verse 11. Easter faith means Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Colossians 1, verse 27. It's all in the prepositions. The Old Testament proclaimed the amazing reality that God is for us. The Incarnation announced something yet more astounding. God is with us. But Easter and Pentecost make the most transformational pronouncement of all. God wants to live in us. Ephesians 5:14 puts it this way, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So Grayson, if Resurrection Day is an invitation for us to rise in power, are there any thoughts you'd like to add to the ones I've just shared?
Well, we should know that Christ's resurrection isn't just him resurrecting from the dead, but it's also a chance for us to have new life. We are promised eternal life if we believe in him and ask him into our hearts and ask him to become our Savior. So not only did Christ raise from the dead on Easter Sunday, but that gave us a chance to have new life and life eternal if we only trust in him. So that's the hope that we gather from Easter Sunday, is not only is Christ risen, but we're risen. And it says if we suffer with him, we will also reign with him.
Exactly, Grayson. And that is a beautiful invitation for sure when we hear these words, rise in power. And finally, there is another invitation, go and tell. The angel told the women at the tomb, quickly go and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Matthew 28, verse 7. Easter is meant to be much more than a private message of comfort for the individual heart. It is rather the proclamation of a reality that the whole world needs to know. Christ is alive. He has conquered sin, death, and hell, and he lives today as Lord and Savior. To be a witness in the New Testament sense of the term is not to tell your story, but to tell his. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and Jesus will come again. Everyone needs to know these facts. The power of the gospel to transform the world is not seen when we wag our fingers at the unbelieving world and say, you ought to this or you ought to that, but rather when we point a finger toward heaven and shout, he is risen, he is risen indeed, and he is coming again. And so, Grayson, we have the invitation to go and tell. What do you think about this idea where we're called to be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Well, we're called to spread the good news of the gospel that we have witnessed for ourselves. We don't want to hold that good news to ourselves, but we want to share it with those around us. And this kind of makes a full circle where we talked about go and see, where Mary saw and then she went and shared with the disciples what she had seen. So we want to do that. We want to go and tell it on the mountain, like the song says. We want to talk about, you know, go tell it on the mountain was about him being born. Well, this was him rising from the dead. So we want to go and tell this as well.
It's all true without doubt, Grayson. How in the world can we experience a resurrection from the dead spiritually and not go tell those who are spiritually dying? I mean, we have found hope and we dare not keep hope hidden. Oh, God, forgive. Oh, God, forbid. If we have hidden the hope of the resurrection, if we have not shared and will not share, Lord, forgive and Lord, forbid. Well, Grayson, in conclusion, I want to read a little bit more from this pamphlet. I think it's a beautiful thought about Easter. For centuries, many have debated whether we understand in order to believe or whether we believe in order to understand. In other words, which comes first, reason or faith? Does one reason one's way into faith or believe one's way into rationality? Though many glibly assume that seeing is believing, the gospel points to a deeper reality. Believing is seeing. Faith enables us to see the truth. Jesus said it succinctly when speaking in a cemetery to Martha concerning her dead brother Lazarus. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? John 11, verse 40. Socrates is dead. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Marx is dead, Freud is dead, the Dalai Lama will soon be dead, and I'm not feeling so well myself. But listen, Jesus is alive. Come and see, kneel in faith, rise in power, go and tell. What a beautiful story we have here today to recount on this Easter edition of Front Porch Talks. I don't think we'll ever have a better talk about hope than when we sit around the microphones, Grayson, and we talk about the resurrected Savior, the one who would rather die than live forever without us. And he has surely included us in his resurrection afterglow. We want to have some celebrative music today. This is Easter, and certainly we must celebrate. And please listen as Grayson will select a few songs from our friends that talk about the hope we have in Easter. And some of the songs will even go along with the invitations that we have heard today to Easter. Our prayer is that at the conclusion of today's broadcast, you will surely say without doubt, today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks has without doubt been a half hour of hope for my life. God bless, and remember, He is risen.
Yes, He is risen indeed. The two songs that we have for you today are sung by our friend Brian Arner. The first is He's Alive, followed by Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Fastened down, I spent the night in sleeplessness and arose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. It was just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they must have moved here in the night, but none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body is in there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how aware they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The skies. tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, were silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. I will go and tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo,
a Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.